Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
You know, the Mets really screwed us. Can we just be clear about that? Can we be clear about that?
We're not the only ones.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking outside. I'm in New Jersey, right? It's not raining very much right here. Like, the Mets canceled their game yesterday or postponed it till tomorrow for opening day because they're trying to do the right thing by their fans. They did it way too early, and as a result, you and I don't have any day betting going on.
Yeah, today we had a really special presentation for everyone today. We were going to bet yes or no on a run being scored in the first inning of that game because it was going to take place during this show. You were going to be able to follow along with us.
Yeah.
And then the Mets decided it has to be perfect conditions for them to lose 105 games so that they won't be playing today. So now we don't have another game to take its place. I'll tell you, though, this is going to be the home for the yes-no run in the first inning bets. We're going to be doing that all summer long on this show.
Absolutely. It's Carlin versus Joe. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN is our telephone number for you to be a part of the program. 888-SAY-ESPN. Last night, in case you missed it, Draymond Green was ejected after he was in the game at the beginning for just 4 minutes at the start of the night for the Warriors as they were taking on the Orlando Magic. He was screaming at an official and just continued to go and go and go. And afterwards, Steph was just shaking his head in disbelief because the Warriors are clearly in a place where they do not have very much room for error. Here is Draymond just a little while ago making a statement on the Draymond Green Show. He's a good businessman. Didn't speak to reporters last night, but did make his comment today on his ejection.
I said what I said. I deserved to get kicked out at that point. And what I said, if I'm all the way honest with y'all, I kind of was trying to turn my body and angle and go to the bench. And I said what I said, like a little too soon before angling my body to the bench. But yeah, it just can't happen. And, you know, we need to win games. So, like I said, not going to overreact. Like, oh, man, like, stuff is never as good as it seems. It's never as bad as it seems. Like, I know where I am. I understand what I'm doing moving forward. And in my position, just make sure that that's the exception and not the rule.
Yeah, well, it's been the rule for your entire career. So why would it be the exception, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, it is, let me count, 72 days since he returned from suspension and told everyone it was going to be different. It lasted 72 days. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
You know, because like when you're dating someone early on, right, they're not meeting you, they're meeting your agent. That's how the dating process works. You're going to dress a little bit nicer. You're going to act a little bit more polite. You're going to put on airs because you're trying to impress the other person. But eventually you settle in and the real you comes out. That can either be a good thing or a bad thing. The real Draymond came out after 72 days, 2 months, a little bit over. So congratulations there. And he got ejected. What we know about Draymond this season, he is number one in the NBA in ejections with 4. Keep in mind, he's only played 47 games and we're pretty much down the stretch of the final 10 games of the season. So he leads the NBA in ejections with 4. And he is currently ranked 7th in the NBA with technical fouls at 10. And again, the guys in front of him have played 71 games, 68 games, 69, 63, 63. He's played 47. So, you know, Tiger doesn't change his stripes. This is who he is. He's always been this way. The only difference is that he doesn't really produce at the same level he used to. He used to win Defensive Player of the Year awards. He used to be on all NBA teams. His team used to contend for championships. The team isn't as good. His production isn't as robust as it used to be. But the problems he brings to the table are still the same they've always been. So now it's about the law of diminishing returns.
And everything that you just said is, I think, what really caused the reaction of Steph, who was visibly upset, annoyed, aggravated, frustrated, pick your word. Steph exhibited all of it in the wake of that ejection. Here he is after the game.
Yeah, I was just letting out a little steam. nothing is guaranteed in this league. Like I said, the way that we went out and competed, maybe it's just the way that you kind of see, you know, you're back against the wall kind of vibe. I don't know how many people who would have picked us in this type of game, you know. In a back-to-back kind of setting down, you know, a starter, the two starters, J.K. and Draymond. And we found a way to, you know, fight it to the end and get a win. So letting all that.
Even at the end, he's kicking the chairs on the bench, like still annoyed about what happened. And
hold on, one quick thing. You notice how in there, when they asked about his reaction, where he's kind of walking around the court and he pulls his jersey up over his face and he describes it as him letting off a little steam. That's how he lets off steam. He's not punching anyone. He's not kicking anyone. He's not yelling at anyone. He's not berating anybody. He's not cursing at anybody. He's not getting thrown out of games. He's not doing anything to hurt his team. He's letting off steam in a way that isn't going to be confrontational, and it's not going to be detrimental to anyone around him. Compare that to Draymond Green, who's supposed to be one of the leaders of the team.
And as I said, even at the end of the game, kicked a couple of chairs, too. They were talking about that as well. Like, we don't see that from him for a very good reason. That's about as far as he ever goes. And you have to wonder, I know that it has always been in his head. I don't know what the personal situation is, family, all of that stuff. I do wonder if there's any part of him that at least wonders a little bit about finishing his career somewhere else, considering it's clearly time to break this whole thing up.
I would imagine he contemplates it privately, because we think about everything privately, right? Like, think about how many things go through your head on a daily basis, my head on a daily basis. So to say it's never crossed his mind, I think, would probably be false. But it comes down to whether or not he acts on it, whether or not he truly, truly contemplates it, right? I would bet no. You know, he has something very rare within his grasp, the ability to be drafted by a team, play a Hall of Fame career there, win championships, and to do it all on your own terms. In a day and age when everyone's jumping from team to team and trying to acquire star talent here and partner up with your friend there and manipulate this here and do this there, he showed up at Golden State, didn't put up a fuss, and built with the team and had a ton of success. And I think everyone in the Bay, and I think a lot of people in basketball, would love to see him retire a Golden State Warrior. So I'd imagine he's contemplated it, but he's got a great unit around him. He's got a great ownership group led by Joe Lacob. They want to spend. They want to win. He's got a great coach in Steve Kerr. They're going to try to figure it out. There are so many franchises that aren't even trying. Like, Washington isn't even trying. Is Charlotte trying? Like, can you tell me the Charlotte Hornets are actively trying to build something there? It's been years since they've made any noise at all. Right? I think in Golden State, he's put roots down there. He's raised a family there. He's beloved there. He's considered it, I'm sure, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I think it's unlikely, too, because of his affection for that area and for that organization and everything that it has meant to him. But the one thing I would say about it is he has a skill that is not a diminishing one. He can shoot. He can shoot. And that is going to be incredibly valuable to someone else. And I'm sure that at the very least, people will knock on the door to just ask if it's somebody that is not far away from potentially winning a championship. And maybe even in the middle of a season next year. And they present him with the opportunity. Hey, you want to go do this for a little bit? Who knows? I don't expect it to be the case either, but the one thing that I confidently say about him is he has a few more years in him if he wants it.
He's 36. He's playing at a high level. He's still worthy of contender status. But it's about what happens around him. It's not about him. Mm. It's about what happens around him. It's like LeBron. What's going to happen around him? LeBron's good enough to win. But what's going to happen around him? What's going to happen around Steph?
Yeah, I don't think he'll go do what LeBron did.
No, he would never do that. Never do that. He's the opposite of LeBron in that regard.
Or even really try to get that done in his own place. In other words, I don't think he's going to go chasing guys all over the place trying to win, even in Golden State. I think he'll help if they have the opinion that there are a couple of guys there. But I don't think, like, he's going to go out actively, hey, LeBron, hey, whoever, come here, let's go do this.
Well, this ownership group is going to have to figure it out. This management team is going to have to figure it out, because you've got a big question. Do you want to continue to pay the Legacy Act, Draymond, Clay, to a lesser extent Wiggins, because he helped with the most recent title? Do you want to continue to pay them and trot the legacy out night after night for the fans who are coming out for a little bit of nostalgia? Or are you going to make one last push? Because this is it. Steph's 36. You might have a few years left where he can contend at the highest possible level. And when he's gone, you're going into the toilet. Whether you believe it or not, you're going into the toilet. That's what happens. Look at what happened in New England. They thought they had a succession plan. Belichick out. Win total for this coming season, 4.5 by sportsbook standards. 4.5. It's going to happen. One way, shape, or form, it's going to happen. So you got to figure out how you're going to play it out. I think it's time to say goodbye to the legacy act. I really do. Michael Jordan has been away from Chicago for 25 seasons. They've gone to the playoffs 12 times in those 25 seasons. They've won a grand total of 5 playoff series. 5. You have to realize that if you're the Warriors. When Steph's gone, it's over. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to him. You owe it to the fan base to maximize these years. And I'm sorry, but I don't know if Draymond, Clay, and Andrew Wiggins should be a part of that moving forward.
You mentioned the Patriots in that discussion right there. Well, speaking of which, they can be very patient with their post-Bill Belichick rebuild, but there is one person who might get in the way of that. My friends from Superchargers, Exhaust Kits, and more, eBay Motors has over 122 million parts to keep your ride or die alive with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive. ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, including on TuneIn.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
All right, we already gave you Illinois on the money line tonight over Iowa State. We're also going to play Clemson plus 7 over Arizona. Number surprises me a little bit. I thought it would be closer to 5, so I'll take the perceived value in the extra 2 points. Clemson's a really well-balanced team, top 50 in both offensive and defensive efficiency. They play at a very slow tempo, which limits possessions. You limit possessions, you limit shots. You limit shots, you limit scoring. All of a sudden, plus 7 becomes more valuable in a low-scoring game than it does in a high-scoring game. People look at them and they remember the loss to Boston College in the ACC tournament, so they don't seem to get a lot of love, but they just smoked New Mexico, who was a darling to many entering this tournament, and then they took out Baylor, who comes from the toughest conference in the country. They're live here, in my opinion. Don't bet a dog because you think they can cover. Bet a dog because you believe they can win. I believe they can win. Give me Clemson plus 7 over Arizona.
It's always the right time to draft a franchise quarterback if you deem him to be one.
With Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels in their top three, maybe the Patriots see it a different way. Maybe they say, we want J.J. McCarthy. We can trade down and still get our quarterback of the future. But regardless of where they take him, they have to come out of this draft with a quarterback.
The Patriots may also have a different evaluation of quarterbacks 2 and 3 than I do and say to themselves, well, if we're not guaranteed our guy or one of our two guys, then we might pivot.
Drake May's pro day is today, and in 15 minutes, even less than that, Lewis Riddick is going to join us to fill us in on what he saw and evaluate Drake May and his possibility as a top three quarterback in this draft. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. The Patriots are really, I think right now, Joe, are the most intriguing spot in this draft at three. Now, we have said that the draft starts at four. We made that official proclamation last week. And that's because we know that three quarterbacks are going to go in the top three. But the point with the Patriots is it going to be them or is it going to be somebody else trading up to take a quarterback? Well, here is Robert Kraft, just as a friendly reminder recently, at the owners' meetings this week, talking about the possibility of what they're going to do at three.
We've never been in the third draft position since we've owned the team. And what happens, a lot of people behind are really desperate to move up. And so we're going to be open to whatever can come our way. But in the end, I'll let the team make the decision what they think is best. One way or another, I'd like us to see us get a top-rate young quarterback.
They can do whatever they want. By the way, I want us to get a quarterback.
That is amazing. That's classic ownership, though, right? It's look, those guys are in charge. I hire them. I empower them. I stay out of the way. They better draft a quarterback.
Well, that's as good as it gets right there.
So what do you do if you're a decision maker and you hear that? What do you do if you're thinking about trading back, stocking up picks, and going out there and building up the rest of the roster? Because Kraft isn't saying he's cool with a fourth-round quarterback. It sounds like he wants a quarterback in the first round.
It does. It does. And let's operate for a moment under the assumption that Jaden Daniels is going to go two, okay, behind Caleb Williams. This is from Gerard Mayo this week, the Patriots' new head coach, on Drake May as a prospect.
Drake May had a fantastic interview at the Combine. He brings a lot of energy. You can tell he has that leadership ability. And, you know, also the exciting part about a guy like Drake May is the ceiling. Like, there is really no ceiling with a guy like that. Now, in saying that, when we're trying to put together this roster, I know a lot of people look at the ceiling, but you also got to kind of see how low is the floor. How low is the floor? And I would say a guy like Drake May, he has a lot of room to grow. He's a young guy. Honestly, he hasn't played football nearly as much as these other guys. So that's definitely something that we've looked at. But he definitely is going to develop.
What is he telling you right there? He's not going to play right away. He needs to develop. And, you know, I told you earlier that I've been talking to some people and getting ready for the draft and talked to one talent evaluator last night. And what he said about Drake May was something similar. What people don't realize is that with Drake May, it's going to take a lot longer to be ready. Do the Patriots need somebody who's going to go play right away?
Oh, what's the rush? You're coming off a dynasty. Hmm. What's the rush in New England? It's tailor-made for you to take your time. Executives and coaches dream of these scenarios where there's no pressure and there's no rush to produce results. You can actually put a plan in place. There are certain areas where you show up. Dallas, for example, after Mike McCarthy leaves the team, if that ends up happening after this year, where you will be expected to produce right away. This is not one of those situations. The Bills are better than you. The Dolphins are better than you. The Jets are better than you. You're dead last in your own division. Your win total is 4.5 games. There's no expectation. Take advantage of that situation. Take the time. Build it up the right way.
There's a problem with what you're saying. Robert Kraft, at his advanced age. Robert Kraft has made no mistake, has made no bones about the fact that he wanted that seventh Brady Super Bowl to be in New England. He has now officially moved on in every way from that era. And he finds himself in a new time now where the pressure is there for him to go and win another championship. And I think that's why you hear that quarterback sentiment from him. He understands that, if we're being honest, his time's somewhat limited.
Well, then why not sign Kirk Cousins?
Because I don't think he felt like overall that they were that close, and he didn't want to do something that would hurt the organization for the longest time, and Kirk Cousins has one playoff win.
It's one more than any of the prospects coming out.
I understand. I think he wants a prospect that can help now and can help in the future. Listen, if he's looking for C.J. Stroud and Drake May, he ain't there. He may be there in Jaden Daniels, but he ain't there in Drake May. I do think you might be underplaying the Bob Kraft factor here a little bit in terms of the pressure to win sooner rather than later.
Well, if that's how he's going to go about his business, best of luck. What is your plan?
I'm not saying it's a good way to go to business.
Like, what's your plan then, Bob, to get past Buffalo, Miami, and the Jets? Not or the Jets, and the Jets. You're the worst team in the division. The worst. And this radical departure from the era you just were living in, not that radical. You hired one of Belichick's assistants. Take your time. Do it right. You just had to. Taking your time doesn't mean you need 6 years, but like develop the quarterback. Green Bay's policy works pretty well. It's much more likely to go in a direction where you don't get a guy that plays well right away than the C.J. Stroud situation or the Joe Burrow situation. Trevor Lawrence was supposed to be a can't-miss type guy. He hasn't been that great since he's been in the NFL. Justin Herbert hasn't been that great. These guys need time. You got to develop them. I think Alex Van Pelt, the offensive coordinator that's in New England right now, that's a solid candidate for it. If you look at his previous stops, he was just in Cleveland as the offensive coordinator. We saw what he did with 5 different quarterbacks this year. Prior to that, he was in Cincinnati. Prior to that, he was in Green Bay as the quarterbacks coach with Aaron Rodgers. The guy's been around good quarterback talent. You can take a quarterback and you can develop the guy. It doesn't mean the guy needs 5 years, but give him at least a season. If you're in New England and you think you should be competitive this upcoming season, that is a horrible management strategy. Horrible, because it's not realistic.
I'm going to throw one at you. What if the idea of marrying what Kraft said with what Mayo said means they do trade down, but they look at a guy like Bo Nix because they think that Bo Nix may be ready to play sooner than Drake May is ready to play. Remember what Mayo said in that comment. You also got to look at the floor. That's telling me he's saying if this guy goes out there too soon, he could bottom out and it could get ugly.
Well, then you wouldn't even have him on your board. You wouldn't even put a guy like that on your board. Why would you even be talking about him?
A boom or bust guy? How many times have we seen that at the top of a draft?
If you're talking about a guy where, man, the floor is really low, then one of two things happens here. A, you got to trust your coaching that you can coach him up and avoid that floor, or B, you avoid the guy entirely. Like, if you're so worried about his floor and you don't think you can coach that out of him, then you don't even put him on the board. Why would you even consider a guy like that? And the idea of trading back and taking Bo Nix, how are you going to thread that needle? How are you going to guarantee yourself that you can thread that needle? All right, we're going to trade 3. We'll move back to insert pick here, 8, 9, 11, whatever it may be. You're assured that Bo Nix will be there waiting for you because quarterbacks just fall all the time in the NFL. If you like a guy, take the guy. Don't screw around. You should know better than anyone else. If you have the quarterback, you're competing every single year. If you don't have the quarterback, you're not competing at all. This franchise knows that lesson better than anybody in the NFL. They've lived through it. They have lived through it. So if you've got a guy, take him. If not, don't be trading back trying to thread the needle. Because if you end up with nobody and your plan was to definitely come away with somebody, year one of this new experiment is already a disaster. And you haven't even gotten to camp yet.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. He dropped a bombshell on us yesterday from Jaden Daniels Pro Day. So what does he have in store for us now? It's Lewis Riddick joining us next from Drake May's Pro Day in moments, right after I tell you about this from our friends over at Indeed. And it is the perfect time to gear up and connect to quality candidates. And there's really no better way to do that than through Indeed, the hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in the same place. Their interview tool helps you schedule and conduct video interviews right from your employer dashboard. Nix the hassle. Start hiring. Indeed.com/credit.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
May to throw on second and goal from the 15. Looking for Nesbitt and makes the catch! Touchdown, Carolina!
I think it's nearly impossible to find the flaw in Drake May. Look, all of these guys have had moments where you'll say, like, hey, why did you throw it there? But Matt compared him to Justin Herbert, which kind of puts you in that rarefied air of size, athleticism, arm strength.
I saw it, though, in 2022. He could be really, really good. He could be great. He's got developing to do, but certainly I think he can be a heck of a quarterback in the NFL.
Be very interesting to see how this continues to play out. He gave us some great stuff yesterday, and he's back to fill us in. He was at Jaden Daniels Pro Day. Now he's at Drake May's Pro Day. He is Lewis Riddick, ESPN NFL analyst, a guy who has been a director of pro personnel. This man knows football personnel inside and out. And Lewis, he joined us yesterday and just gushed about Jaden Daniels. It's Chris Carlin and Joe Fortenbaugh. So what was your biggest takeaway from Drake May today in Chapel Hill?
Well, he hasn't thrown yet, but I'll tell you this. What I'm looking forward to seeing is, like, all these guys in these workouts, there's usually some significant attention that they have paid to their mechanics and making their mechanics repeatable, meaning that their feet are tied together with their hips, tied together with their release, tied together with their eyes. And so they can consistently put the ball ultimately where it needs to be put in real catchable spots so receivers can catch and run. And I think with Drake, that's probably what I'm most interested in seeing, how the work has paid off for him in this kind of environment, in this kind of setting, to where it's set up for you to be supremely accurate and supremely on point with your passing. You know, the things that you otherwise want to see with Drake as far as the next step in his evolution, you can't see today. That will come when he's playing 11-on-11, meaning, is he making quick decisions? Is he not staring down primaries? Is he a guy who, you know, is going to be able to throw the football under duress and put it where it needs to be put? Those are things that you just won't know until he gets to the NFL. But as far as his accuracy and the way in which he is delivering the football and how it looks when he's delivering the football, those are the things you're going to really be locked in on today.
Lewis, you've talked about how close you think the race is between Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels from a talent perspective. When it comes to Drake May, is he close to those guys, or is there a significant drop-off?
From a throwing standpoint, it looks different. You're getting different packages out of these guys, okay? So Caleb is kind of like the guy who can throw it from absolutely any body position and arm angle known to man. He can deliver it, and he can deliver to some wild throws. Okay, Jaden is a little bit more structured, not as many different arm angles and arm slots and off platform throws. He can do it, but he's taller. He's a little bit more Randall Cunningham looking ish because he's like a 6'4", power throw of an arm and fantastic athlete. Drake is kind of like, Drake is a little bit more classic in terms of being a pocket passer. Still has above-average athletic ability, but he's not the athlete that Jaden is. He's not nearly that fast. He's not a guy you're going to run quarterback power, quarterback counter, quarterback draw, and he's going to take it 80. That's just not what he's going to do. quite honestly, he's not as good of a runner as Caleb is. But he's a little bit more classic, a little bit more Justin Herbert is. So I think it's going to be more about, like, what do you want? What do you want your franchise quarterback to really look like? What do you want him? What do you want his strengths and weaknesses to be? And it'll be different for everybody that you get. And that's what makes this so fascinating. Because there's people right now who say, Caleb, without a doubt, is number one. Then there's people who go, Jaden Daniels is going to be the best pro. Then there's people who go, Drake May looks like Justin Herbert. He's going to be the one. So that's what makes this all the more interesting as we move into April and on to Detroit for the draft.
So let me ask a quick follow-up here, Carlin, if you don't mind 1 second. When it comes to what fits what Cliff Kingsbury wants to do in Washington as he is the new offensive coordinator, does Jaden Daniels fit that more, or does Drake May fit that more?
I would probably say that, wow. I mean, I would say, to me, look, Jaden fits whatever the hell you want to do. Meaning he's a guy who can win from the pocket. He can be a progression reader, right? He can sit in the pocket, stand tall, and deliver the football and beat you from there. If he needs to create, he can get out the pocket and create now. And then if he needs to really, like, if you want to run some RPOs and quarterback design quarterback runs, he's already shown you. He'll take it 90, and you won't touch him. So for me, if I'm an offensive coordinator, that's the guy I want. I want the guy who can do all of it whenever he needs to do all of it. So that's why I have him as QB1 right now. Look, Drake is going to be able to, like, I don't think anybody would turn down the chance to draft and coach and develop a guy like Justin Herbert, right? And Justin Herbert is not like Jaden Daniels. Justin Herbert isn't Lamar Jackson. Justin Herbert isn't that kind of guy who you want to run all the time. But everyone thinks he swears that he is a franchise quarterback, the kind of guy who could take you to a Super Bowl. There are people who look at Drake May the same way. So that look, this is just a matter of taste about what you want your franchise guy to be. That's really what it is. So for Cliff Kingsbury, look, I think all offensive coordinators, quite honestly, have to have the ability to adapt. They just do. I don't think quarterbacks need to necessarily. It's not as important for them to fit into systems as it is important for offensive coordinators to fit systems to fit quarterbacks. So I think the onus really is on Cliff Kingsbury and every other offensive coordinator to adapt to these guys.
Jerod Mayo talked about Drake May at the NFL owners' meetings and mentioned that with you as well, with May, you might have to look at the floor as well as the ceiling when you're evaluating these guys. Does May have that lower floor that you'd be worried about?
I guess it's interesting. I guess I'd like to hear what people think. Like, why does he have a lower floor? Is it because he doesn't have the same kind of dynamic athleticism that Caleb and Jaden have? Is that why they think his floor could be lower? And therefore, if he doesn't develop into a top-tier passer, he doesn't have the dual threat capability to rely on, and therefore his floor is a little bit lower. I guess that would really be the only thing that I would say that would contribute to him maybe having a lower floor, is that he's not the same athlete. But don't get it twisted in thinking that he's a bad athlete. He's not a bad athlete. He's just not dynamic like Jaden and Caleb. There's a reason why Jaden and Caleb are, you know, the past two Heisman Trophy winners. They're unique. They're unique individuals in terms of their athletic ability. But I guess for the sake of this discussion, if you were going to say which guy had the lower floor, I would probably say it's Drake, simply because he doesn't have that kind of dual threat capability to rely on or to fall back on like the other two do.
Here's what you know. You know, when you're listening to Lewis Riddick talk about football, you know you're going to learn something. And we just did right there.
Yes, sir.
Over the last few minutes. Great stuff, Lewis. We appreciate it on a busy day.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Lewis Riddick, ESPN NFL analyst, live from Drake May's pro day after he was at Jaden Daniels yesterday. He has been electric on this show the last couple of days. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote, progressive.com. Sweet 16 kicks off tonight. There's also a new little proposal that's out there that I think makes a whole lot of sense. We'll discuss in moments on ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
All right, so far today we've given you Illinois on the money line over Iowa State. We also gave you Clemson +7 against Arizona. Let's play a favorite here. North Carolina -4.5 over Alabama. Alabama's defense, it's no bueno, as Anita Marks would say. No bueno. You can't trust them. The thing with Alabama is they're not going to get stops against UNC, so they're going to need to score. And they are heavily reliant on the three-point shot. Now, if that three-point shot is falling left and right, they're going to be in that game and they could spring the upset. But if it's not falling left and right, there aren't a whole lot of other options inside that bag of tricks for Alabama. And they're coming off a relatively decent night. So far in the tournament, they're shooting about 39% from deep. Their season average is 36%. So you could argue a little bit of regression is on the horizon. On top of that, UNC defends the three-point line pretty well. So we're going to lay the 4.5 with the Tar Heels over the Crimson Tide tonight.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. So we've got the Sweet 16 kicking off this evening, as we've had some of the pizza monies all day today. And there's an interesting story that came out in some comments from Charlie Baker, who, of course, is the new head of the new president of the NCAA. And this is all after the Jonte Porter story earlier this week, where there were betting irregularities involving Porter on a couple of games where he left with a re-aggravation of an injury to his eye, and then also due to an illness a couple of months later, and there was heavy action that was reported on the under in both of those instances for his personal props. So, having said all that, Charlie Baker is calling for a ban on college prop bets in states that have legal sports wagering. Now, Joe, it's funny. The way that I found out that some states already have it is that I was in Iowa the other day, and there is legalized sports gambling, and I thought, you know what? I'm in Iowa. Caitlin Clark's playing. Let's fade her. That's immediately what I'm looking for.
When in Rome, storm the gates, right?
Why not? And I look down, and it says, nope, sorry, prop bets not available. To me, this is absolutely the right thing to be doing. We all know that there has been fixing and things like that that have happened before in the past. But what this would do, especially with the app show, if we just take away the prop bets in college, we get rid of the stupid people.
Yeah.
Get rid of the stupid bets and the people that don't think they're going to get caught.
See, the old school version of fixing a game involved getting players to take a dive so that the team would lose the game, or they wouldn't win by as many points as they needed to cover the point spread. It's become much more sophisticated as people try to evade detection. One of the most notable ways for fixing a sporting event in recent years has been in tennis. Players going out, competing, possibly even winning, but right before they get to the point where they seal the deal, they withdraw from the event due to an injury. And this isn't Rafa Nadal or Novak Djokovic, and this certainly isn't Wimbledon. These are smaller events with lesser-known players who might go out there and look good, and then all of a sudden there's some back tightness that forces a withdrawal. And as a result, that person loses, the other person wins, and all those bets end up getting cashed. That's how you try to evade detection. The problem is that almost always the word gets out in the betting community and there's irregular betting patterns because low-level tennis amongst non-popular tennis stars or tennis athletes, is going to generate a certain amount of action, and then all of a sudden it's magnified by 50 times and the bookmakers know something's up. This is how they always know. That's why Jonte Parker is in so much trouble, because the two nights in question, there was significant action on his under props. I agree, college sports should get rid of player props. If they want to do something here, they could allow you to just bet the overs, right? Because you're not going to be able to fix that. If your prop is 35 and a half points, how are you going to fix getting over 36 points?
Right.
It's the unders that can be fixed. In tennis, they have you pull out due to injury. With these props, you could pull out due to injury, or you could just decide you're not going to crash the boards as hard. So rather than 7.5 rebounds going over, you maybe rack up 5 rebounds. Stuff like that. So I think this is a great move because it's going to be easier to corrupt a college athlete than it is a pro athlete, because pro athletes are already getting paid. I know college athletes get paid to an extent, but not like pro athletes.
No, definitely not. Brad Underwood, the head coach at Illinois, was asked about this proposal from Charlie Baker this week.
We have competitive integrity, and I think that's the one thing that we can never jeopardize. I think in the Big Ten we've been very, very proactive in terms of putting out an injury report before games to help protect student athletes and coaches, and I'm a big fan of that. I would hate to see the day where nobody jumps for the jump ball because of a prop bet, and to me that's the greatness of college athletics is the competitive integrity that we have, and we should be able to keep that.
Yeah, it's funny. The Big Ten started doing that. You know, I do Rutgers football. That was never a thing before this year. There were never any injury reports in college, and that still is information week in and week out that is protected like the nuclear codes, because nobody wants to give a competitive advantage to the other team. But now, if somebody's not going to play, you have to tell them an hour before the game, this person's not going to play. As for Porter himself, Michael Porter Jr. is his brother, and he did get asked about it, as you would expect, his brother Jonte, in the middle of this investigation.
I know what you guys know. I know Jonte loves the game of basketball. You know, he's really excited to play. He's been really excited to play with the Raptors. I know just as much as you guys know at this point. You know, I know that I've known my brother my whole life. I know what type of dude he is, and I know he's excited to play basketball, and I highly doubt he would do anything to put that in jeopardy.
To me, it seems too easy and too obvious to go ahead and do this, because when it comes to college, as you said, the amounts of money that are being thrown around that you hear, that's only a couple of guys. That really is not the majority of college athletes. It's not. And while NIL gets a little out of hand, it's nowhere near what you think it is. I promise you that. So the money that can be made off of these kinds of things now, absolutely they should just eliminate it. And to be safe, I mean, this is how big of a skeptic I am, all right? You're talking about, well, just get rid of the unders, right? Or just, you know, we can still play the overs. It gets to that. Well, what about the guy that has his buddy come along and say, hey, I'm going to play 10 grand on the guy tonight who you're going up against. Maybe you play a little bit lighter of a defense against him. You know, just get rid of it altogether.
Certainly something that's out there. The one thing none of these guys realize with the detection is that they just assume when they're dealing with whoever they're dealing with that, yeah, you just, you know, fewer rebounds tonight. Just don't, your over under for 3-pointers is a half. Just don't make a 3-pointer tonight. You can play as aggressive as you want. No one's going to notice. Just don't take any 3-pointers. Sounds easy enough. Right up until the average bet jumps by 500 times. And instead of the bookmaker taking, you know, $1,800 in action on that prop on a normal night, he's got $250,000 coming in. That immediately alerts these guys. Like, that's the thing. That's going to raise flags immediately, because if you're fixing, the word's going to get out amongst the guys who are betting that. They're going to try to get down as much as possible. They're not trying to get you to fix a game so they can make $2,000. They're trying to get down as much as humanly possible across as many books as humanly possible. So you got to understand that. Like, you're going to get caught. And to everyone railing against the legalization of sports betting, saying this is what's going to end up happening, accountability, all right? We want freedoms in this country. We want freedoms, but we also want to be able to blame everyone else when we make a mistake. understand bankroll management. Don't get in too deep. Same thing with alcohol. Same thing with legalized marijuana. All this other stuff that's out there. Have some accountability. Have some responsibility. Put yourself in a position where, yeah, you can enjoy the freedoms, but you don't go overboard. It's on us to be responsible individuals. It's on us.
And I would argue, and I know you would too, because I've heard you say it, that if it's legal, you have a lot more guardrails in place.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier to try to control these kind of things from happening.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.